It's done.
Connor McDavid! It's not real!
The goal of the year?
Panarin!
Part of the past. The celebrations? Forgotten. The history?
Vegas Golden Knights!
History. We're back to a blank slate. Clean ice. All that matters now is what happens next. The Stanley Cup Playoffs.
Eastern Conference Final begins Wednesday.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another edition of Wolves Fancast. David Evans here. Joining me on this magical adventure that is this season, once again, it's Stu.
Magical adventure?
It is a magical adventure. Technically four games on the bounce.
A magical adventure, like a magical carpet ride in the year Aladdin comes back.
It is this year, it's actually, yeah. Aladdin. I don't know about these kind of, let's make a real life action version
of the film.
The
Jungle Book was shit.
Yeah, but Beauty and the Beast was brilliant, though.
I've not seen it.
Oh, well.
But Jungle Book was shit, so...
I don't know. Film talk already. Anyway, on the podcast this week, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to talk about Everton, Shrewsbury and Newcastle. A couple of bits on the agenda just to point out. First, we did our latest episode of the media series last week, talking about Twitter and its impact on sports broadcasting with David Walding from Twitter UK. It's on all your normal podcast streams, so you can find it there and add it to your media collection series. And also, everybody, what are you doing?
I think I've lost half a tooth.
She was lost half a tooth just as we've started. This is groundbreaking news.
Don't pull it out.
I've swallowed it.
Why?
So I just thought it was a bit of sausage.
Are you just swallowing half of a tooth?
Ow.
Live on air, everybody. Stu has lost half a tooth.
Well, carry on.
We won't get sponsored by a dentist next week.
While Stu sorts out his stuff, let me tell you, there's a competition we're running this week. Week commencing... the 4th of February, just in case for some reason people are listening into the future.
Yeah.
Calm down, Stu. Someone get a dentist, quick.
Oh, my tooth, it fell out.
Well, through nothing at all, apart from your tongue rolling over it.
No, I picked that glass up then and I just touched it. It's obviously been loose. It's that Balti Pie, see? It's a North Bank. I went in there last night and look what's happened to me.
What this squash does to the Fancast team is ridiculous.
I had to sort through my own shit like Jurassic Park and then to get the other half back.
Right, you saw to your tooth.
It's gone. You're not there.
I don't want to see.
The back half fell in. It's inside me.
You might get this done eventually.
What a way to start. Anyway, we're running a competition this week. We've teamed up with shirt sponsor W8A to give you a chance to have two tickets to be in their box for the game against Cardiff on the 2nd of March. All you have to do is go on our Facebook page, search Wolves Fancast. There is a post there which tells you how to enter the competition and tells you what to do. We've got two people are going to get a pair of tickets. It's a fantastic opportunity. And the competition closes on the 8th of February at 9 o'clock. So if you haven't already, go on our Facebook page, find out the details, and enter the competition. Let's go back to Stu for an update on the tooth, Stu.
It's gone. That's... the back part of my tooth has actually fell off.
I don't want to be.
Have you swallowed that as well?
No, the front, it's all there. It's all there at the front, but it's half of the back's just gone. I just swallowed it.
Right, I'm scared now because once we finish recording, I don't want to be walking around and then my daughter runs over to me and goes, "Daddy, look at this," and there's a half a tooth there.
You don't leave Home Alone and think gold one at the end.
Does that mean if she puts it under a pillow, you'd have to give her half of the normal rate?
I think so. I think that's how it works. I think that's how it works. Oh, Stu.
Well, that's a first.
Stu. That is a...
good start is what it is.
It's a great start. It's live action like this is what we want.
Breaking news.
Literally.
Right, okay, media series, W8A competition. Just going to give a shout out to our sponsors as well. Pixel Yeti Media. If you're looking to web design or your business needs a logo or a bit of marketing, go and check them out. They're not just web designers, they're a creative agency that cover all your design needs, from websites to brochures to signage to marketing to logo design branding. So go check them out at pixelyetimedia.com. Before we get stuck into Everton, gentlemen, Stu, are you okay?
Yeah, we'll carry on.
You're okay?
Yeah, okay, to continue.
Soldier on.
Oh. But what's more worrying, there's no blood, it's just gone. It's like it just fell off.
It's like it's been waiting for its moment.
It's a clean cut.
Yeah, clean break.
Oh, right, Jay, just come to your mic a bit more. Or bring it a bit more. That's it. All right. Okay, gentlemen, on the weekend, on Saturday, Wolves were claiming even more that illustrious seventh place trophy with a 3-1 away win to Everton. Neves, Jimenez and Dendonka with the goals. I mean, Stu, are you... You're breathing really heavily.
You know, it's never happened before. I've never lost a tough. I think I've only had one filling in my entire life.
Do you need a moment to compose yourself?
Okay. I thought it was the excitement of the 3-1 win, to be honest.
I could just hear... and I was like, what the hell? Okay, anyway, Wolves won 3-1. Neves, Jimenez, Dendonka with the goals. Let's talk about the important thing firstly. There was a cat on the pitch. There was a cat on the pitch. This is these moments in life that we wait for in football matches. Who brought on the cat? How did the cat get in? Did someone hide the cat and thought, right, Everton fans, sod it. The game's gone. Let's throw the cat on the pitch.
I mean, I've seen the guy take his dog to the match once because his wife wouldn't go with him, but a cat's a little bit harder to sneak, smuggle in, I would imagine, and also far worse behaved.
I presume the cat got in on its own accord somehow.
Well, it's an old place, eh? And the fence, the access gates in the corners, they're not flush to the floor. So it's just... crawled underneath.
How did the cat go 2.5 minutes before anyone tried to get it, though? That was what was weird, because it was cut into like Willy Bolly and Roma Sykes turning to each other and just going, is someone going to mark the cat? Like, they're pointing at it and going, what do we do? Like, do we play on?
But that cut to, when he just zooms in on Johnny's face and he's just bemused. Yeah. What's happened to him?
I was at Atletico Madrid, probably going to be playing Champions League football next year. Now I'm at Goodison Park with a cat on the pitch.
When I saw it, I just thought, this is great. I'm sure somebody at the start of the season when we did our predictions, I think it might have been Rich, who said the one thing he wanted to see this season that was bizarre was a dog on the pitch.
Yeah.
So nearly. Just get the dogs.
You look at that French guy as well, who used to have his cock in his hand. Cock roll in his hand for the international games, and it was tied to his hand.
Yes.
And the bird man in Colombia, was he? I think. Similar thing, but I've waited
very niche
24 years to see an animal on the pitch, and it finally happened. And I think I got a bit overexcited.
We had the squirrel on the pitch, didn't we?
Squirrels and birds and
squirrels are squirrels.
They're not proper animals. Yeah, we're talking household.
They're just land pigeons. Ever, that's all they are. They didn't get anywhere, but an actual proper. I mean, it wasn't even a striker. It's that thing that's had food.
I'm almost certain it had a collar. Can you imagine if you're watching the Everton Wolves game and your cat just runs on the pitch like, oh, Fluffy, what the fuck's going on there?
You've gone to the kitchen to put its food down. It's not there.
He's in Goodison.
It was a great moment. And what else was a great moment was the victory, gentlemen. Were Wolves very good, Everton very bad, or a mixture of both?
I think Everton were quite tough this.
Yeah.
No, well, it's not no surprise now, is it, that Leicester were bad against us, so were West Ham were bad against us, and now Everton are. It's a bit of a running theme that actually we are pretty incredible.
We finally learned how to score more than one goal.
Yeah.
It's something like we've now scored 3 goals in four consecutive games now?
Yeah, because it's West Ham, Leicester, Everton and Shrewsbury last night. Yeah.
Which is incredible, given we were on this show, we were talking about the fact of, well, we don't convert our chances, we only maybe get a goal and we have to try and defend. All of a sudden now, we're just banging them in for fun. Oh, but everyone's wrecking the place. A tough. The mic, stop it.
Well, I think the 3-5-2 revelation, that stat as well, that Moutinho's got the highest assists in January in the top 5 European leagues. It's incredible.
It's just incredible, yeah.
And it's almost like it's come from nowhere, but even last season, we never, apart from Bolton, because they were so awful, we never really looked like we was going to batter anyone, even though I was on here every week saying someone's going to get spanked soon. But now you think, well, next up, someone is, and it's happened for the last four games.
Yeah. You were hankering for a spankering, weren't you?
Right? Yeah, well, I was gagging for it. Now I think it's just the recycling possession and the movement.
Yeah,
the formation change has done that though, hasn't it? Having the three in midfield and Dendonka all of a sudden coming from out of the cold and just being one of our, you know, non-droppers.
Well, I wanted to talk about Dendonka, but you know, because you know he didn't get his first start until Spurs just before the new year. And now you're watching him going, why is this guy playing from the start? You know, we were talking, you know, we used to joke every other week going, what's that, you know, Dendonka, what was the point? What's happened to him? Somebody said to me, he's going to turn out to be the Isaac Okoronkwo player of the side because you'll just realise at the end of the season how great he was.
Yeah. But 12 million is looking like a steal.
Yeah.
Because it's an obligation now, isn't it? We are buying him and it's looking like a steal.
Well, then the best thing about it, if you think about it, if he had come back from the World Cup and he'd been fit, we'd be in fourth by now.
Yeah.
I mean, it's not even that ridiculous to say. I mean, we're 9 points off sixth now. The seventh place traffic can be gone. Six is what we need. And Arsenal played against City at the weekend. We've still got to play Arsenal, and they haven't lost. Well, they haven't won against the top six side, have they, for 4 years?
Mm.
We could be top six by that point.
I mean, let's not get to it.
No. So what is it about Dendonka then? What is it that we've noticed? Why is he seems to be so instrumental now?
What was really interesting for me is that everything that people have said about him is that, oh, he's a centre-back, he's going to replace Bennett, or he's a defensive midfielder. He was our furthest midfielder forward for the majority of the game against Everton, which was interesting, but he did very well. He took his goal really well considering it was his weak foot and he didn't look like a natural goal scorer before that. But I think just having the three in midfield, his physical presence, he wins headers, he just adds something a little bit different. Where Matuidi and Neves have got the class, he just feels like he's got that bit of grit in the midfield.
And it's not like people saying, yeah, he allows Matuidi and Neves to play, because, yeah, he does, but he can play as well.
They all allow each other to play. Like, they'll drop in, and it's a fluid midfield.
Yeah,
that's
the thing. It is fluid, and it's not rigid to stick to your number, stick to your 10, stick to your 8, or your 4, whatever. They do rotate and move, and you know, like Jake said, I mean, that one in the first half, that was a good block by Pickford, which any other time he could have gone through his legs, anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, there was a guy behind us when that happened, and you know, oh, he's never going to score in my lifetime. So I'll give you 20-1. And so obviously when it happened, we just turned around and we was shooting the money out the hands.
Well, Wolves have won 11 games this season now, which is the joint highest tally for Wolves in a single Premier League campaign.
I don't know about you, gents, but I've got a feeling we'll beat it.
We're 2 points away from the precious 40.
Yeah.
I'm nearly there.
I mean, that was just the pure Mick McCarthy era, wasn't it? It was just, let's get to 40 points and then we'll relax. And I think, did we actually reach 40 points at any of those
stages? No, we didn't. No. I don't think we did. I can finally relax when we get to that magic 40.
Well, 11 off Albion's record.
That's the one that everyone's going for.
This is the main thing. And the Villa one's a bit too far away from us. I think 64, 66, Andy said.
Well, yeah, when we've already equaled our points total from the first Premier League campaign. We came back up in 09-10. And we're only 2 points away from equaling the total we got in 2010-2011. Yeah, so actually, we did get the magic 40 once.
Oh, okay, there we go. The dream.
That was
the dream was realised. Was that the year we stayed up when Hunty scored to make it 3-2 against Blackburn? And we lost the game, but we were all buzzing.
Yeah, but no one cared, did they?
I mean, it was a great goal. It was at the North Bank.
That's such a weird thing, because like, if you look back in hindsight, everybody goes, oh, should have sat Mick that day. No single person, I bet you, was saying that on that day.
No. Oh, no. At the end of that game, it was euphoria. Yeah. Obviously, pitch invasion. Moxie didn't throw a phone into the crowd that time.
No one was saying get rid of him.
Yeah, I remember just shouting Pavlyuchenko at the top of my voice.
Yeah. weren't we singing Come On You Spurs at one point in the game? Because it didn't matter anyway, but they confirmed it for us with Pavlyuchenko scoring. 1-1, wasn't it, that game? That was a terrible result for Spurs as well. Oh, what a day.
Good times.
When George Ellacobi was playing left back. That was the dream.
If you're going to go through the goals, Neves penalty, lovely penalty, lovely finish in the corner. Jimenez is a header.
Terrible header. Defending.
Yeah. Lovely header though.
Oh yeah.
All that space.
He had so much time.
Yeah.
But again, saying that, he had so much time, but how many of our so-called strikers in the last 10 years would have just blazing that over the bar.
But yeah. For me, it's the Dendonken goal. It's not his finish, which is fantastic.
The fact he's in there. The two people in there in the box are our left back and our defensive midfielder.
But the fact that the move starts, that we nick the ball away on the halfway line and just bomb it down. And yes, of course, Jota has that chance. And just, like you say, Dendonken is so far forward.
Yeah.
Just smashes it in the net. Because this is great.
It finally feels like Wolves are starting to smell blood, like Watford did against us when we went 1-0 down, and then they immediately went and scored again. I think Wolves are starting to find their bite as a team.
Standout performances. Stu, you want to revel in this? Just keep reveling. I'm letting you revel.
Bite,
Wolves have found their bite. I've got to write that down. That's the best thing I've ever said.
tweet it later. Tweet it and keep it.
And considering we've never won there, maybe Barron's, but in our lifetimes anyway, we've never won there. And I've been there four times. And it's
40 years, wasn't it? I think.
And it's always been disappointment in the end. So it was another one. It was like the Middlesbrough situation last year, where it's been that long coming and we've been going there for so long, and it was just euphoria at the end.
Yeah. Standout performances. Dendonka for one. Was it just a case of everyone across the board, or was there anybody who went up a level or went for that brass ring, as they say?
I mean, Bolly coming back in helped. It showed how good he really is when he's on his day. And he wasn't spectacular. It's just he just does everything right, really. You just feel like he could be playing for a much better team than us very comfortably. But he won't, because there isn't a better team than us.
I think Jimenez was absolute class again. I mean, you see in that stat today that he's in the European team of the week as well.
Is it him and Matinha?
Him and Matinha.
And he's up front with Ronaldo. It's a lovely sight to see.
A couple of years, as you say.
Swansung. Unveiled by Brian Swanson. I think Jimenez is just, considering he's never been a starter and he's never been the main man anywhere he's been,
he's reveling in it now.
To get the love and to trust that Nuno's put in him and that everyone's embracing what we have, he's just a class. He's 30 million's an absolute steal again.
Yeah, straight away. Yeah. If we'd have signed him as well as Johnny in January, it'd have been one of the best transfer windows we've had, because he's showing why teams in the past have bought him, like Benfica, but because he's the main man and people have got faith in him, like obviously Nuno and the rest of the team giving him the ball, he's confident and he's scoring goals. It's great to see. It's the same with Jota. Jota started the season really poorly. Like, I mean, Jimenez didn't start the season poorly because he scored against Everton, but it's confidence for a lot of these players.
This is what I find that's going to be interesting about the summer. I'm not trying to put a downer on anything. But, you know, we talk about, you know, like Jimenez, obviously we're going to try and tie him down for a deal. But there'll be a lot of other teams, a lot more top six teams, who will look at Wolves this season and go, look at that squad, look at some of those players, look how they've established themselves in the Premier League. I'll have a bit of that.
But we could get a lot of money.
That's
I think we'll reinvest
that's
it well.
What I mean. I think, yes, Wolves have got the hand now, they've got the money, so they can counter if somebody comes in for the offer. But at the end of the day, a well-known top six Premier League team is going to allure any player, and Fosen are a business. They feel they're going to make money on it.
Yeah, 100%. But
they will make money. So that's why I find interesting in the summer that we say, oh, we're going to, you know, look at the players we might be getting in the summer, fine, but would not surprise me if there's a couple of surprises
Who do you think they flat out won't sell unless we get an astronomical value? I think only maybe Neves is the one that we won't sell unless we get the 100 million.
Yeah, because everything's around him. He's the
most as soon as we bought him, I think, you know, Bolly could go for, I mean, I'm not going to put a figure out there because I'll make myself look stupid, could go if the right money came in, because I think we could replace it.
That's what I mean.
You look at the market though, 75 million for Van Dijk, obviously he's nowhere near that, but we bought it for what, 12?
Yeah, I mean,
if you could easily sell him for 25-30. Yeah. Easy.
And if you look at the stats, obviously Van Dijk's a significantly better defender. I'm never going to say that Bolly's close, but you know, the stats are reasonably close.
Hypothetically, and I don't know whether other people feel he's valued at this in one season in the Premier League, but looking how the Premier League is factored in now, someone said 30 million for Jota.
I think that's underpriced.
That's what I mean, though.
Because he's a young forward who is scoring goals.
If someone is willing to pay the money, are Fosun going to go, we could probably get somebody else, actually.
But I think Fosun would turn around and say, do you know what, if he stays another year, we'll get 50.
Mm.
I think Fosun, as a business, would operate like that. Because, I mean, they're invested in the club. They've spent 18 million quid on a left-back that cost 6 million quid the year before. For me, that's not a sound business decision. That's a footballing decision because he's played well. A business decision would be go and buy another left-back and try again in the summer. I think they do actually want us to do well through investing. I don't think selling many players. I agree. If we sell, it'll be one or two big surprises. Yeah. But I don't think there'll be any massive wholesale changes.
But that's what I mean. I don't think people should be surprised if that happens.
No, I think
it'd be disappointing. But
Bennett goes, not a massive surprise.
No,
Jota goes, it is a surprise. I can see where you're coming from.
Yeah, I mean, you look at it last summer when all the chaos when Douglas went after the season that he had, and all his assists and who are we going to replace the goals? He's been wank at Leeds.
Mm.
They hate him, and you think,
he's playing left back. He's having to defend a lot more.
Yeah, so there was one on Twitter the other day saying, Wolves have had our pants down here with him. Said it, and they obviously saw something in him, thinking, we can upgrade on him. But we got a guy on loan who can't even speak English to come and play in the Premier League. And look what's happened. So I've got no problem whatsoever. Even if, 2 months ago, I would have given Neves away.
The abuse we got for that.
Yeah, well,
we could have had abuse of the week, but that's just stealing content. So.
But again, he sorted himself out. So has Jota. Costa hasn't. So
real shame. To be honest.
Mm. But there's players. We'll talk about Costa's shoes as well. But this is the whole. There are sometimes teams have seasons where they have players that stand out. Obviously, Leicester win the league. Mahrez and Conte stood out. And then yes, Leicester won the league, but Chelsea came a calling. Man City came a calling. And yes, Wolves are trying to establish themselves. Well, all I'm just trying to say is, wouldn't surprise me if the top six teams said, we've got the money, we're going to spend it, if those players decided to go.
Yeah, I understand. Because as well as that, I actually think Mahrez is overrated.
Yeah.
I think they overpaid for him, Man City. And I think, I'm not saying Jota's a better player, but Jota's doing a lot that would warrant a figure. I mean, if he's, what was Mahrez, 65 million?
Yeah.
I mean, Jota's...
And Moutinho, five. 4 years older, was 60 million less.
Yeah, but that's the market at the moment. Is Will Grigg cost £4 million? He's a very good striker for League One, and it's probably a sound investment from Sunderland. That just shows how good our business has been. £5 million for Moutinho, every single game is looking more and more scandalous.
Mm.
Someone
was saying the other day, for selling Bart, the sell-on fee we've now got for Vokes, somebody else of a low figure, we've basically paid for Moutinho.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
And a phobia has paid for Tendonka.
That is you literally going on Football Manager and rigging the stats. That's incredible.
Yeah. It's House's loan fee.
Yeah.
That's what it was.
Did you see that he liked
a tweet? He tweeted out about the, was it Laurent?
Someone scoring,
for Shrewsbury scoring.
My guy with emojis and all of that, which I just feel is, he might be your guy, but that's very bad taste.
Well, he's an incredibly stupid man,
isn't
he?
Why don't you just text him, Courtney? Why don't you text him? Say, you are my guy.
After the leaking picture from 4 years ago, 3 years ago, whatever it was, you look at him, you think, you ain't the sharpest tool in the box here.
But he's going anyway, isn't he?
Yeah.
So in his mind, he's like, I'm out of here.
Well, I mean, not if Villa choose to not sign him. He could just come back and be like in the reserves like Iorfa was for 6 months.
Let's go back on to Everton. Champagne and man of the match. It's a great win. Up to the dizzy heights of 7th. We're going to get that 7th trophy, which will be a nice big 7, I think. Who's your champagne man of the match, Stu? Who are you giving your Prosecco to and your caviar?
Jimenez. Absolutely just top class.
Raul Jimenez.
I mean, the obvious answer for me is Tendonka, but I think an underrated man of the match who went under the radar because he didn't score was Jota. He drew fouls, was beating people, was his normal confident self. So I'm going to give it Tendonka and not cop out.
I'm going to give it Tendonka as well. Let him have one for once. Let him have one.
It won't be his last.
Okay, we're going to do more on Newcastle coming up, and we're going to do Twitter Corner and Shrewsbury after this. Well, welcome back to the show. We're going to talk Shrewsbury now, and Wolves are through to the fifth round of the FA Cup, finally, after a probably a bit of a painful night at Molineux on Tuesday. And Wolves won 3-2 against Shrewsbury. Dock with two and Cavallero with the winner to give Wolves the pass to the fifth round. Gents, it felt a bit of hard work, didn't it? All credit to Shrewsbury. They played well. But after we scored after 2 minutes, you thought, right, here we go. This is going to be straightforward. This is what we thought. And it was not going to be the case.
It shows our lack of depth in the squad. Mm.
No, that is the only worry.
Yeah, no, because Nuno's used 18 players in the Premier League. And he's not got, apart from Gibbs-White, has not got real faith in the youth and the players we've got elsewhere. Like, you know, your Costas, who's had a really poor season, as I said, is a real shame. Obviously can't do it when they come on, and that's the worry.
And that's a bit like, maybe apart from Cavallero, who I still don't mind if he came off the bench, I still think he'd make an impact.
Yeah, I think he's better defensively than the other two as
attacking-wise, it's a bit of a worry, isn't it, really?
It's Traore through the middle every time. It's because he doesn't want him out wide, because he's got nothing defensively. He doesn't hold his shape well, he doesn't know where to be defensively. And that's why he tries to play him through the middle, because when he goes at players and when he's confident, he you can get past anyone
in
the world.
Well, that was the thing for Traore last night, was that he actually attacked well, he held the ball well, he had three or four people on again, and he got round them easily. Mm. It was just that final thing when he was on goal, he was like the kid in Mighty Ducks 2 who couldn't stop, he just wouldn't pull the trigger when he could have lots of times. And when he did the once, it just went well wide. Mm. So I can... It's that somebody said something about... Was that anybody sitting on here or somebody else said about Traore? That it feels like that someone has made him on FIFA and given him the highest ranking just for three attributes and then nil for everything else.
Yeah. He's pace and strength. It's just you feel like you wish there was someone quick enough to keep up with him that you could pass to at the end that could finish.
And you just think there's something there, and that's where I kind of feel tempted to say, try and give him a go next season.
But there is something there, because his cross for Doherty's goal in the first game against Shrewsbury was excellent.
Yeah.
Put it on a plate for him, obviously took it past the seven blokes that he normally does, but actually put a good cross in. And you're thinking, if you did that more often, you wouldn't be at Wolves, you'd probably still be at Barcelona.
Yeah.
And then the thing with him, he never had a pre-season here either.
No.
And he came with a shoulder injury, was not part of the group, didn't have his... into the Nuno mindset at all. And it's going to take a while for it. I mean, you're effectively changing someone's complete game.
Yeah.
And it's not going to happen during the season. It might happen this week in their boys away trip. But
boys to mobs.
There's some cliques already in
this. Last night, I had no... I was sitting there getting absolutely drenched on row 8A of the row 26 rows back from the front in the north bank, lower. And I didn't feel any pressure at all at any point. However, it was like, oh, this is like the good old days again. But we still scored three at home, and we only conceded two because John Murray had a Norwich day again.
Yeah.
And I mean, the first goal, he came and missed it. And the second one, was it just a joke?
The second goal I've watched three or four times. It's how that happens. I mean, yes, you can have an off day, and yes, he's a really good character in the changing room, but it just shows how much better Patricio is. Yeah, he can't kick, but Patricio never makes that mistake.
And it's a bit of a shame with Ruddy, because he's not going to get many opportunities this season. You would think he'll probably go in the summer.
Do you think he'll start the Bristol game?
Probably.
I don't think he will. I think he'll go. He'll start going for it now.
I think he should. Yeah. I think there's not been many better opportunities for us to do it with the squad we've got now. Mm. I think it's the best squad I've seen.
I just wonder, when you get to that point, if you get further into a competition, where do you start thinking, I'm going to keep the side I've had, or I'm going to start changing up?
It's one of those things. It's where we want to finish in the league. It's whether we want 7th or the FA Cup, and I'd take 15th in the FA Cup.
You're both.
Well,
no,
I mean...
No, we have 6th in the FA Cup.
6th in the FA Cup. Just qualify for the Europa League twice.
If you think a bit... We've got three games will be moved. Yeah. So we're going to play three extra games. That's it, really. So you might as well. The majority of these players played 46 last season in the league alone.
Yeah, and a lot of them were in the World Cup anyway, so their football hasn't stopped.
Yeah, and did it perfectly well. We don't get injuries, do we? So there's no real fatigue with anyone. They know what they're doing. So there's no reason why we shouldn't just go all out for both.
Yeah, but I see you touch wood there, because injuries is a real issue, because we've already seen that we haven't got squad depth. And if you throw in Jimenez for Bristol away, which, you know, you may need, you may not need, and he gets an injury, you know, 60 minutes in, it's 0-0, he's out for the rest of the season,
Yeah, but that could happen anywhere.
It could, but I'd rather it happened in a Premier League game, because I think although the FA Cup obviously is huge, it's not as important as the Premier League. I think it's always good to prioritise. I personally would prioritise finishing sixth.
This is another problem.
I would try.
You don't know the pain.
Obviously, the FA Cup would be great, and I think
you don't know Bull and Keane on the bench. You just don't.
But I wish we had more. What I'm trying to say, I wish we had more strength in depth so that we could still go for the FA Cup without wasting the energy of the main players.
I want to talk about Doc. 2 goals of the night. He's now scored more goals in all competitions than any other Premier League defender this season, which is 6. But he's just strength to strength. I know we've talked about it before, but strength to strength for Doc. And what I don't understand is I've seen a lot of comments on Twitter, as you do, people saying, oh, you know, people still are critical of him, people saying he's really poor. I've not felt like that this season about him.
The only person I've read people moaning, and these people haven't been to a match about 4 or 5 years, or are you going to go until Moxie's out, or that kind of crowd. But you know the type, the ones who you see in the pub who've now got all the shirts and the tracksuits and everything, and they've been Wolves through and through, and they've watched all every game. A lot of bollocks. But it's all these kind of people who've actually seen Doherty mature and play over the last, especially the last 2 years, maybe that when he won Player of the Year at left back as well.
Yeah,
when he scored like 2 or 3 worldies, which is just completely out of his game.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it was
League One keepers, to be fair.
But yeah, I mean, I don't see or hear anywhere. I mean, I'm there all over the country, and I don't hear anyone slagging him off.
No.
I've never heard it myself. I've just read it from the keyboard warriors, and that's all it is.
This is a guy who we got for 75k from Bohemians many years ago under Mick, and has consistently been in this side despite every single manager change. And now, especially under Nuno, he's just got better and better and better. And he's attacking-wise, he's just great. But Jake is going for a rebuttal.
Well, yeah, I completely agree with everything you've said. He has gone strength to strength in every year he's been here, and is the best he's ever been at Wolves. But did neither of you still worry about him defensively? Even a little bit?
Not really.
I do feel like sometimes he can be... Sorry, he can be out of position because he's getting forward, and he's done really well. I mean, he's got more. He's been involved in more goals this year than Giroud and Paulo Dybala. I saw on Twitter, as I'm sure we all did.
Yeah.
But it's one of those things. I agree with you, and I don't think in the summer we should try and replace him.
But, we need the competition for him.
Well, I feel like another option, maybe one that's a slightly better defensive-minded player.
Well, we've got one. He just plays the other side.
Yeah, but then we need a left-back.
Yeah, but then you got the same problem on the left side when you've got an attacking left-back in Vinagre, and Johnny's a safe option. You can't have 2 safe options. You'll have one or the other.
Yeah, well, Vinagre can play left-wing as well, and has done this year.
Well, I think that's what Doherty's turned into, really.
Yeah, I mean...
It's a far cry from Darren Baisley.
Well, I was going to say, I mean, of the right-wingers we've got, Doherty's probably the third best, and that's probably... still above Costa, yeah.
Well, he's the second highest goal scorer at the club this season, Doc.
Behind Jimenez,
yeah.
So in a minute this summer, he could be the one. So you're dangling 35 million. Look at the market. It's not supposed to be. He's not probably not worth that. But look at the market, 35, 40 million for attacking right back.
Yeah, exactly.
At his age,
as well.
You've also got to think, like, is in terms of better attacking right backs for the big teams, you know, he's better than Seamus Coleman at Everton. Man United have got Antonio Valencia, who's about 43.
They've got Dalot, though.
Dalot is, good, a young option, but, I mean, Doherty's another option. The Chelsea right-back is either Aspilicueta or... I couldn't even tell you the other right-back. That's how anonymous they are. You're right. He could be a surprise, one that goes for reasonable money, and I think we'd have done, obviously, very well to get money out of him. And we'd go and get Cancelo. We tried to get him in the summer, and there's a reason why. Because, obviously... Nuno didn't rate Doherty, but he's proven me wrong this year so far.
I want to talk about Costa. We mentioned it. Adam's boy, Costa. Because again, last night, I just feel like we're seeing, unfortunately, the beginning of the end for Costa.
Yeah.
You know.
It feels like he's just not... I don't know whether he's put on weight or whether he's just not as fit, but he's just not... He just doesn't want it anymore. That Liverpool game... 2-1 when Stearman and
the FA Cup game,
he was electric. He was the best player on the pitch.
Is it the case that he was literally the star man, and now he is no longer the star man? An element of it. There are obviously now players better at him.
I said this when Neves came in, and you can say, and the Derby game, and I said, even then, last season, I said Costa's not even the best Portuguese player on the bench anymore.
Yeah.
And he's just been wank under, you know, he's just not good enough. Under Lambert, yeah, it is the big fish thing. Because under Lambert, I mean, starting just give him to Ipswich. Just a concept, contract and give him to Ipswich, like letting play under Lambert again, because that's the only time he's performed.
You're right, though, it's because he was the spark under Lambert, because there was nothing else, no one else that could do anything.
Yeah,
and Costa now can do something, but not nearly as much as any of the other players.
In some ways, he, like Sacco, nearly with Sacco, but he single-handedly made sure that we did not have a disastrous season under Fosen there, and something really bad could have happened.
Who was a better player, do you think? Sacco or Costa in their prime? Who would you take?
Sacco.
I would have said Sacco as well.
Yeah, because Sacco's overall all-round commitments and everything else was...
Yeah, I mean, Sacco that one year in the Championship when we nearly went up was great.
Yeah, Costa's...
Costa's had great games. I mean, he played well at Man United away. It's just that's so rare these days.
Yeah. And Arsenal as well. Arsenal away.
Yeah.
He had a great game there. So it's not the confidence thing, because if it was a confidence thing, he wouldn't be able to do that.
Yeah.
It's all in his head. So whatever's going on with him, he's clearly got something there, but he's choosing, for whatever reason, to be pissing about.
Well, we need to send him out on loan to, as you say, like an Ipswich, where he would be the main, you know, attacking outlet in terms of his flair, where he'd be the spark. Where he was for us.
Part of the journey is the end, gentlemen. I want to talk about Shrewsbury because they didn't look like... I know we used to talk about teams who play Premier League teams and they up their game, but they didn't look like a team that were second bottom in League One. They looked very organised and they played the ball really well.
They looked a lot better. They played a lot better football than half the Championship teams I've watched on Sky this year. Mm. A lot better. You can see that Ricky... It looks like when he's got in there, and it's going to take a bit of time to adjust. But if that's the message that he's got over, then fair play to him. Because they looked... You can't believe the second bottom of League One.
No.
You've got to remember, though, there could be the element of the fact that it's Ricketts and we're a big team, we're his old club. It's Shrewsbury throwing everything at
him. That's what I mean. It's stepping up, isn't it?
Yeah. Newport beat Middlesbrough last night, which is a massive scalp with a... keeper who had to rush off to hospital, whose head wasn't in the game. It's one of those things where they can just step it up against the bigger teams. Mm. I think that, again, no disrespect to Shrewsbury, that's probably the case.
Yeah, but they're stepping it up and they're actually playing well.
They
actually pass the ball around really well, and that shape and everything. And you don't, that's not through passion, that's through talent.
It was a good cup tie because it was good football.
Yeah, that's what I said. I enjoyed it.
Yeah.
Apart from being soaking wet and.
Yeah.
Being sabotaged by tough eating pies. I really enjoyed the game last night. I thought it was okay.
Any notable performances last night at all? Did anyone that stood out?
I think Doherty, maybe.
I thought Niall Ennis as well.
Yeah, he did well, yeah. I thought Gibbs White did all right. A lot of people said...
Really?
I thought he did.
I
thought he did.
He was trying very, very hard and a lot of things weren't coming off for him.
I think it's difficult when he's not playing alongside Neves or Moutinho, because I mean Saïss was abject as well. I think it helps when he plays in a team.
I know he scored as well, but I thought Cav played well as well. That's why I've still got confidence in Cav.
I think Cav's a good option off the bench. I think that's what he will be going forward.
He's always kind of been like that as well.
Yeah.
And he's...
He's consistent. He feels to me like a sort of 7 out of 10 every week and occasionally a 9 out of 10 because he scores.
Yeah. I mean, even when he's been poor, he's always put a shift in. And Costa ain't done that.
Yeah.
And that's the difference between the two of them.
That's why I'd prefer Cav out wide, because defensively he's better than Costa or Traore.
Right, okay then. We're through to the FA Cup fifth round, gentlemen. We're up for the cup, aren't we?
Oh, yes.
We're up for that cup. So many champagne man of the matches for you, Jake. Are you going to give your Prosecco and your caviar to?
I mean, Doherty. However much it pains me to do it.
It's Doc.
It has to be.
It's Reefer Doc. Well done, Doc. I'm sure he'll get that in the post. Right, we're going to preview the game, the next game in the Premier League, and Wolves take on Newcastle United on Monday night. A bit of Monday night football, gentlemen.
Oh, yes.
A bit of MNF.
Love it.
We always love it.
I could have done very wrong then.
Wolves, obviously, they are trying to keep hold of that seventh place. We'll still be there, gentlemen. No matter what the results are, we'll still be in seventh.
Yes, it's turned into a very sort of good joke now, but seventh place at the start of the season, if you'd said at this point we'd be seventh, is just unbelievable. It's beyond, I mean, I know Fosun had like a 3-year plan for us to go up. I bet this is way ahead of the plan that they had for this year.
Yeah,
it's one place above what I said.
Did you honestly think 8th was a realistic option?
I said it on here.
I say realistic, we're 7th.
I said I've got no, I mean, looking at the Premier League as it is, and it was last season, and the fact that we were better than, even last season we were better than half the league, teams in the league. Yeah. I just thought, well, why can't we finish 8th? And we've got the squad and we've got the players. I don't think it'd be getting to this stage of the season and being playing this well and being up there, but it ain't really surprised me at all.
Talking about Newcastle, obviously a bit of a bounce in the step recently. Obviously that great result against City. Obviously perhaps a bit unlucky to lose against Spurs at the weekend. They've got Almiron. Is it Almiron?
Almiron.
Yeah. Almiron from Atlanta for £20 million record signing for them. So a bit of a boy in the step, but. As it's Newcastle, there's always something going on there, isn't there? I've got a mate of mine who is a Newcastle fan. He's from Wolverhampton. And I know he's told me the story, but I've no idea why he picked Newcastle. I thought it was always an odd team to pick. So I kind of said to him, you know, what is the feeling around Newcastle at the moment with fans? And the kind of view he gave me was, after the loss to Watford, it was just a toxic atmosphere, which I think we've all been there with Wolves. Obviously, beating City and getting the record signing, a bit in the mood has been lifted up. What was interesting that he pointed out to me, he said that Benitez doesn't usually like to start new signings. He likes to bed them in.
So he wasn't even in the squad for the last game.
He said, don't be surprised if he's not even in the squad again or if he's on the bench against Wolves. But I think
you've paid £20 million, pounds, you've got to put him near the squad.
But it was funny. A couple of things he mentioned was that Benitez's contract runs out in the summer, which I hadn't realised, and everyone just expects him to go. And I think we've all seen from general reports that for Newcastle, you know, Rafa is just like their god. He's the last shining light in their season. But he was saying to me, if you were hypothetical and said, would you have the club getting relegated if Ashley sold? 99% of fans would take that.
That just shows how bad it is at Newcastle. Yeah. So you've really got a feel for them. I mean, it could almost be a Blackpool situation with the Oystons, where it just ends up being an absolute catastrophe.
But he was saying to me that it's still the general view that Benitez will leave at the end of the season.
I think he'll keep him up. I think he'll stay to the end of the season. I think for him, keeping them up is going to give him a much better job somewhere else than leaving now.
And there'll be teams in the summer, especially in the Premier League, who may get rid of managers, and he'll be top
first
of the
on the list. Yeah,
you know, Leicester for one, Leicester Everton away. Potentially with the fraud, as everyone calls
it. He ain't going to get to Everton now.
But you know what I mean, though. He'll have a lot of teams after him.
Yeah,
but would you have him at Wolves? Let's say
no.
Hypothetically,
not now.
Nuno went tomorrow.
No, I'd want a manager that's got a philosophy for playing football. Because that's the sort of way that we've gone so far. I think it's the way we should look to keep going.
Well, Newcastle, the 2 points above the relegation zone.
I was going to say, me and Gully have had this conversation as well. There's only one, Kike from Real Betis. It'd be absolutely superb if that time came.
The worst case scenario.
So Newcastle, 2 points above the relegation zone. But what's interesting is, depending on some swings, they could be in the relegation zone come the game against Wolves, because Southampton play Cardiff and Burnley play Brighton. So depending on some results there,
some huge games
they could go into it in the relegation stage. You would think they're going to have to go for it. And Newcastle, you know, I know we beat them right in the last minute, ironically, with Dock once again with the goal. But it will be a tough game, because, again, they've got a tiny bit of a spring in the step now.
Well, that's up until a month ago, I would have said, yeah, it will be, because it's the same old Rafa, come 10 men behind the ball, get what you can, spoil. But no one can spoil them. Then we've got three in midfield. It just doesn't work. And if they try and cancel each other out, what are they going to do? Mark one wing back and not the other, and then the balls are just going to be diagonal. And you presume Voldemort's going to play. He's welcome addition yet again.
I would just put Sy somewhere on the pitch
just to wind him up.
Drama. Make something a little bit interesting. If they're going to put 10 behind the ball, at least let's get a fight on the pitch or something. You know? There was a cat last week. Let's get Sice and Shelby having a scrap.
What team? I mean, team lineup though for Wolves, it's just same as usual, surely.
Yourself.
There's nothing to change.
Nothing. Size for the second half, and one of the midfielders gets a card, and he can come on and get the other card.
Well, that's it. I mean, it's funny, though, because we've got this set team now. There's not even a kind of conversation of, well, maybe drop that person. I mean, I was glad, actually, he played Boddy against Shrewsbury, because I thought it was good for him to get the minutes at least.
Just get back into it.
He did look a bit rusty for the first 10 minutes at Goodison on Saturday. Just his touch, they seem there. But that was just
getting back into it.
Yeah, that's just one of them things.
I mean, that's the issue, is that when Boddy went out, we're dropping Sice in there, who is a better midfielder, or Dendonka, who had proven this year is a fantastic midfielder. Defensively, has he actually had a different back five in like a cup game this year? Like a drastically different back five?
I don't think so, off the top of my head.
Yeah, which I just find really interesting, because surely they'll get burnt out at some point. Mm. Or fatigue will catch up with them, especially if we do go far in the cup. It's the issue of strength and depth.
Have you got any personal thoughts on Newcastle in terms of, have they always been a team that you've not liked, that you've liked? Because I've never had a problem with Newcastle. I remember Newcastle 90s, noughties, up there waiting for the league. Ugh. You love some opinion.
I quite enjoyed the Kevin Nolan, Andy Carroll link up, just because it was just so shithouse. It was great.
But you know, I always liked them as a team. I never had a problem with them. I mean, famously, obviously, the Kevin Keegan rant. Did anyone see the picture? Someone photoshopped Klopp over that picture, and it was so good. But anyone? I mean, Jake. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I didn't grow up with them being massively successful.
None of us have. They've been there, but
and obviously Shearer was like arguably the best striker England have had in the last 40 years.
Who was it that we got from Newcastle years ago in the 90s? It was a bit like a good player, and it was a bit random that we got him. And then we'd played Sheffield Wednesday at home, and it was one of the fastest sendings off for a keeper in
Kevin Pressman, 13 seconds. That sending off.
For some reason,
probably wasn't alive.
He came rushing out of his area, and he handballed it out of his area after 13 seconds into the game.
How does that happen? 13 seconds in?
It's just a ball over the top.
Their
defence hadn't set up properly, and whoever he was running through, it was one on one with Pressman. He touched the ball past him.
Who was that player though? It wasn't. Who was that player we got from Newcastle? I'm sure it was from Newcastle.
I can't remember anyone from Newcastle.
My mind's saying Espria, but it wasn't Espria, was it?
No. Ketsubaya. Tomori Ketsubaya.
It wasn't Ketsubaya.
Yeah, that's the only one from Newcastle I can think of. That was years later.
It might have been then. I don't know. I just remember it as a kid. I just remember as a kid going, how the hell have we got him?
Yeah, because we got him under Colin Lee, and it should never have happened in the brown shirt.
Jake's either researching or probably
I searched Wolves transfers from Newcastle, and the third thing was the future Cristiano Ronaldo link with Wolves. So, reading that one later.
Have you ever had a problem with Newcastle, Stu?
No. Well, I've had a kind of soft spot for Sunderland, and for no real reason. And my best mate is a Sunderland fan as well, from up there, lives up there. And but no, even with that, Newcastle has just been another one of them clubs. A bit like Everton, don't really care. They're just there.
I don't like them just purely because of Jonjo Shelvey. I just think the man's deplorable.
Yeah, the whole thing and the arrogance and the Bellamy stuff, that all started. What a surprise! That kind of roiled it all up, but the disrespect and whatever. But it is what it is.
So basically, apart from a couple of things, Newcastle, we have no problem with you whatsoever.
No, but you're gonna get
apart from Jonjo Shelvey.
Yeah. Right, let's do predictions then. Wolves Newcastle Monday. Still a few days to go. What's your gut telling you right now, Jake, for Wolves versus Newcastle?
3-1. I don't think we'll keep a clean sheet because it's not been guaranteed in any of the games we've played, but I think we're in a rich vein of goal-scoring form, so I think we'll continue.
Rich vein of goal-scoring form, I like it.
And the one will be Solomon Rondon, and it'll be to make it 1-1 on the stroke of half-time.
Yeah. Stu, what are you going for?
4-0.
4-0, you're going for hankering for a spankering. Yeah. He's going for it.
It's easy. Rafa's usual chant aimed at him, and he flapping his arms like a bit of a penguin.
I quite like his facial hair. I don't know. I wouldn't know why.
I'm going to go for your standard afternoon 2-0 win.
Ooh,
your standard win.
Two clean sheets.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Your standard win. Who wants a quiz?
I mean,
don't say it all at once. Dan's doing his quiz once again. It'll be interesting. It's Stu versus Jake on the quiz this week. And I was looking at the quiz questions, just thinking, with Jake in mind, would he get some of these questions?
Probably not. Let's I'm going to say early.
Go top of the table again.
Stu, to the leaderboard. Where are we at in terms of the leaderboard? Because I know that I am still quite high up on the leaderboard. Thank you very much. But Stu is also quite high up on the leaderboard, so he has a chance, I presume, to have a grasp at first place.
Yeah, we joint top. It's me and you, four each.
So Stu has a chance to take a grasp at the top. Where is Jake on the leaderboard?
At bottom, dead bottom.
Yeah, joint bottom with Hoops on nothing.
Joint Come bottom. On, Hoops.
Here's a chance for Jake to not
Redemption.
Redemption.
Chill out, Hoops.
Right, but gentlemen, are you ready for the quiz?
Yeah.
Are you ready for the quiz? Okay. On the 6th of February, 1999, Jake.
I was three. Come on, chance.
Wolves drew 1-1 at home to Oxford United. Name the Wolves scorer that day. Who scored for Wolves on the 6th of February, 1999 against Oxford
United? Why has he even said this for? Because, what relevance has this got?
Because today, as recording, is the 6th of February.
Is it going to be Havard Flow again?
I'm not going to tell you.
I'll go Havard Flow again.
Havard Flow.
I mean, my 90s knowledge of Wolves is embarrassing, so Dean Sturridge.
Robbie Keane.
Oh, you haven't got it.
Robbie Keane.
That should be my next go-to answer.
After beating Shrewsbury this week, Wolves earned a fifth round replay against Bristol City, but who did Bristol City beat in the fourth round? Who did Bristol City beat in the fourth round?
That's one I should know.
It was literally a week and a half ago.
Yeah.
So I'm presuming Stu knows without saying. Do you know, Stu?
I don't think I do, actually. Oh.
How about a clue of a league, maybe? They were in?
I'm not going to give you a clue.
Thanks.
Pick a team.
Was it Orient?
Well, there's one guess for Orient. What are you going for?
I think it was a lower league. Bradford.
Nearly, so nearly with the B.
It was Barnsley.
It was Bolton.
Bolton. Oh, I'll take that.
Next question. In September 2016, under the Italian stallion Walter Zenger, Wolves won 2-0 away to our next opponent, Newcastle. Name the two players not from the British Isles on the bench that day. So two and a half years ago, Wolves 2-0 win against Newcastle away. The two non-British Isles players on the bench that day.
João Teixeira
is one.
And
I will give you a point. I mean, Dan hasn't specified, but I will give you a point each, as it were.
If you can get is João Teixeira one?
I'm not going to say yet. Okay. João Teixeira is one.
So he is.
I'm not saying.
Non-British Isles players for Walter Zenger.
Stu's in deep thought. He's going back to that day in his time machine. He's got to burn his watch. He's just literally stopped time without us realising. He's going to come back wearing a different shirt.
Non-British. I'm thinking it's not going to be someone obvious. It'll be someone like from the reserves or someone someone like Razak Bukhari that isn't Razak Bukhari.
Right, so I'm going to get it off the mark here. Stu, can you give us any guesses at all?
I would have said it's Teixeira as well, because I see after that was the thing with Teixeira after that the Rotherham game, first game of the season, he looked excellent.
Yeah.
And then he just faded away completely.
You can also go for Teixeira if you want. I'm not going to deny you that. After the Fancast WhatsApp group controversy this week about we've apparently got to write our answers on whiteboards now. Okay, come on, going to press you now.
I'll just go Teixeira and Costa.
Would Costa have been on the bench though? Was this Newcastle away?
It was Newcastle away. 2-0 yeah. Win, own goal and a Costa goal.
Wait.
Oh,
I'm gonna let you answer first, but okay. I'm gonna go Teixeira and another.
Okay. Well, I'm gonna come on.
I've mind blank. I've got no idea.
You're gonna pass.
Yeah, I'll just pass.
So Teixeira and a pass.
Yeah.
Teixeira and.
Nwadiko?
Oh, was it Bodvarsson?
No, don't worry. Why is I don't worry? No. It was neither, gentlemen.
Oh.
Cavalero. Okay. And come on. Your boy Paul Gladden was on the bench. Could you forget?
Oh, because
Gladden's guys. Come on. No one scored
that
yet.
Was in
come
his,
on.
Like, one of three games.
And you could have got a point as well. A 1 point from that. Anyway, next.
Gladden played in the game 3 days later, did he? In the cup.
Yes. Took a header off his shoulder.
Yeah. All right, next one. Last weekend's opponents, Everton, won the FA Cup in 94-95. Are you ready for this, though? You think it's going one way. You will not see where it's going. But name one of the four Italian sides Wolves played in the Anglo-Italian Cup that season. Bonus points for all four.
Lazio, Napoli, Empoli, and Inter Milan.
Okay, there's four guesses there. I'll give you a point for each one. Sorry, Dan.
Atalanta, 100% because I was there.
Okay.
Sampdoria.
Okay.
I can't think of the other two.
Stu does get a point because Atalanta is there. The other ones are Venezia.
I said that.
Ascoli, is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
And Lecce, is it?
Lecce.
Lecce, yeah. Lecce. Nearly there. So, Stu, you're on a point. You took the lead. Well done.
That was my first ever Wolves game. One each. Lee Mills scored.
I would say bring back the Anglo-Italian Cup.
15th of November, 1994.
Bring it back. I was...
50p programme. Mark Rankin on the cover.
I heard that completely differently then. Anyway.
I wasn't that excited.
I think I was 7... 7, 8. Well,
I was minus 2.
You won.
Wait, was it 94?
Yeah.
I was minus... Yeah, minus two.
Right, next question. Steve Ball scored four goals away to Newcastle on January the 1st, 1990. But what former Wolves manager played for Newcastle that day? It wasn't Zenga, don't worry.
Newcastle.
Who played for Newcastle that day? There was a former Wolves manager. Stu, have you got this?
Yeah,
Stu's got this anyway.
Oh, no idea. Did Terry Connor have a stint at Newcastle?
Terry Connor, for one. What are you going for?
Evil Mark McGee.
It was Mark McGee. I'm not going to put the evil in there. It was Mark McGee. So 2-0, Stu. Let's do the tiebreaker just in case. Wolves drew 2-2. You know what? I will give you the win if you get this exact.
Oh, well.
Here we go.
That won't happen.
Wolves drew 2-2 with Everton earlier on the season. In the same game, Matt Doherty made his second ever Premier League appearance. How many days after his first in September 2011... So if you get this exactly, how many days from his previous Premier League appearance, I will give you a win over Stu. And Stu, you can just do this for fun. So how many days, exact days I'm looking for now. Jake is actually trying to do the math, which is very good.
Hang on.
And let us know how you got on at home, everybody. At Do We Do FC Fancast on Twitter, Facebook Wolves Fancast. Why don't you take a picture on Instagram? And tag us on it as well.
2,523.
2,180. Oh, Jake. Oh, Jake. My sweet little Jake.
I was miles off.
2,513.
Oh! You've got to give me that, surely.
Stu wins the quiz. Well done, Stu.
Oh, no. If only he'd waited 10 more days. That just makes me hate Matt Doherty more. So well done, Dave.
Gentlemen, it's the last part of the episode. It is time for Twitter Corner. It's your chance to ask us your question. At WGFC Fancast on Twitter. You can email us podcast@wolvesfancast.com and on Facebook as well, which you've got some questions on Facebook this week. We never have questions on Facebook. We've got some questions. So I'm going to ask you, firstly, from the original... That is Twitter. Some interesting questions this week. And our usual fun question. Oliver Amis says, why do we not have a Doherty chant? Is it just because no one can decide the way to pronounce his name?
Probably a fair
it's a
shout.
It's a good shout.
I mean, we argue about Jimenez, to be fair. We just go with Jimenez.
Any impromptu Doc chants, Jake? On the spot.
Defensively, he's poor. Something along those lines.
Defensively, he's poor. Attackingly, he's
not poor.
I adore Doc. Whoa. There we go. There's a chance. Everyone's seeing that on the terraces.
Doc the boat. Doc the boat. Don't tip the dock over. Doc the boat.
That's good. Daz, if you had to choose between... I think we've had this in the podcast, right? If you had to choose between winning the FA Cup or finishing seventh, what would you choose?
FA Cup.
I would choose the FA Cup.
Obviously.
FA Cup all round. Brett, he usually gives us...
The Hitman.
I wish it was, but I don't think it is. Would you, in caps lock, would you rather have to eat a bowl full of crickets or a bowl full of worms?
Crickets.
Yeah, crickets, because they're crunchy, so...
Yeah.
Yeah.
Worms, the texture of worms wouldn't be right.
No. Yeah. Although I might not be able to eat anything crunchy if this carries on.
I was going to say, five teeth fall out.
Quite a simple question answer, actually, that was. Yeah. There would have been more debate, but cricket straight away.
Yeah. Texture.
Jimmy Taylor says, what style of back of shirt, name and number combo have been your favourite?
Anyone. Like, seven is my favourite number, but if I could, it'd be Neves 8, or it's normally my surname and age at the time.
I don't know whether Jimmy also means like back in young year as well.
The original Premier League font.
Yeah,
that's what I love that because it was very 90s. But even you look at it now, it's better. It's just plain and boring. No,
well, 90s shirts were better. That's why they're getting back into popularity.
These hipsters,
like the Man United Sharp shirt that everyone seems to have these days.
It's a good shirt.
I really want the Goodyear tyre marks wolf shirt.
That was my first ever kit as a kid, and I didn't realise until years later it was the one that everybody hates.
Right now it's really like popular because it's a bit retro.
I would have that shirt now.
I would make you an offer, but it definitely wouldn't fit me.
It barely fits me.
Someone buy me and Jake those shirts.
If someone can find any way for me to buy that
shirt.
There
is surely someone out listening who has listened to this show enough who thinks, you know what, I like the cut of their jib.
Yes.
Let's buy them that shirt. Talking to games, although we weren't talking about games, but you know what I mean. Jack says, Resident Evil 2 remake or Resident Evil 1 remastered?
Well...
He's got serious.
Remastered. I like a classic game.
You've still got the original Resident Evil 2 if you want to go and play that one. Whereas the remaster of the first one was just the same. It just looked better. So the new Resident Evil 2, because it's a different game, but you've still got the original if you want to play the original. So there you go. New one.
Boom.
I've never been a Resident Evil fan.
Sorry. No, my question was based more on the fact that I think old games remastered are great. The Crash Bandicoot remake, great. It's brilliant.
Have you got Spyro yet?
No, not yet.
Stop ruining games. Come on. We don't need
ruining?
We don't need to remaster a game.
Does this make them look better?
I mean, the new Spider-Man game is essentially Spider-Man 2 remastered. New story.
I agree with that. That does look good. But just, it's like films, just don't ruin them.
I agree with that.
Don't
games,
remake them. With
games, you get the nostalgia while also, you know, having the actual graphics and gameplay that you thought you were playing when you were younger.
Right, Sean on Facebook says, do you think if Donk had been playing first team football earlier in the season, we would have done better against teams like Huddersfield and Cardiff?
Yeah, we would have been fourth.
Yeah, if the problem is if he was fit, because I feel like he wasn't playing because he wasn't quite ready.
Yeah, he was.
If he was how he is now back then, yeah, 100%, we'd be probably third.
If you look at his signing picture and you look at him from last week, he's probably lost about half a stone.
Yeah,
so
it was just weird because he went to the World Cup. You just feel like, how have you got unfit in 2 weeks and then Christmas happened and I understood.
Ed Marshall, do we think we missed a trick not adding a striker in January, or has the FA Cup shown that Cav and Adama can play in the centre forward role?
Or Niall Ennis.
Yeah, well, exactly what I was just going to say. They've obviously got faith in Niall Ennis, and you look at his video today and he said, yeah, they just pulled me in. I expected to go under 23 training like normal, and they just pulled him in and said, no, you're training with the first team. And then he said, you're included tomorrow in the squad. So, yeah. I mean, the bad luck that he's had is pretty ridiculous anyway. Yeah, yeah. And they wouldn't have got rid of Ashley Seale and Samuels if they didn't believe in Ennis. So, why not?
Was it Ashley Seale who is the top scorer in Premier League 2 that has now randomly gone on loan to a Portuguese team? Is it Ashley Seale? Or who is... There's someone in the under-23s who's like the top scorer in
PL2. Well, it'd be one of those three, because they're forwards, aren't they?
Yeah,
good maths. Good maths there. Anyway, carry on. Callum Uphall says, do you think if we'd played our 3-5-2 against Shrewsbury, we would have had more of a comfortable game? We did tweak it a bit, didn't we?
But in the first game we played 3-5-2 and it was exactly the same. They just played out the skins and it didn't really work. And that's why when they went to the other way around, going to back with a 3-4-3, that's when we hit them when we were 2-0 down at their place. So I don't think it really mattered. They just played well and we still scored three goals against them. And it should have been comfortable.
Yeah. Rob Spicer with the questions I like to hear. When you go for an all-you-can-eat Chinese buffet, do you plate up with the starters first or go hell for leather and mix it up all on one plate?
Depends how hungry I am.
See, it's changed for me over the years. You know, years ago it used to be, right, let's see how many plates I can do. And now it's a bit like, just take
get
your time,
it all
David.
On one. Well, get just it all on one time. Plate and go through that.
I don't want to turn up and be like, I've only had a plate and a half and I feel like I'm full already.
Yeah, but it depends how big that plate and a half is.
But that's meant, like, you know, when I was younger, I could have four or five big plates, four plates, and mix, you know, whatever. But now it's all, have a bit of starter, just take it slowly.
He's trying to make the buffet a bit more upmarket.
I just want to go to a buffet and actually enjoy it. I don't want to go...
Rather than engorge.
Engorge after one plate and go, I've just spent 15 quid on this, yeah. And now I've literally just had what I could have had at home.
When I've been to Cosmo, Bentley Bridge,
shout out. It's new sponsor.
It's probably about 15 quid, it's all right, it's great.
It's a fiver on some days.
Yeah, student days.
Well,
for us normal folk, I exploited it as well.
It's always busy, yeah. At Cosmo. How many years has that been there? Yeah. And it's always you turn up. If you try and turn up, it's like, yeah, you've got to be gone in an hour though. Yeah. It's like, what?
Yeah, it's been there at least 10 years.
Yeah.
And but yeah, I mean I've done it both ways before, and I've just piled it all on and done it the sensible way, which is what I do now, where have a few starters and then go dish per where it's from. So I'll have an Indian dish and I'll have a Chinese dish and then
chicken nuggets and curry. Oh, just get it all on.
Yeah, but that's the starter. The starter's the free-for-all, and then I kind of...
And pizza and gravy.
Separate them all get afterwards. It in.
Basically, Rob, we haven't been able to give you a definitive answer. Don't worry. Final question from Phil Hancocks, who says, just for fun, did you watch the Super Bowl, gents? And if so, what roles would Wolves players hypothetically enjoy as American football players? I'd imagine Troyer would terrorise the defence and score against some great touchdowns, providing, of course, he was able to catch the ball rather than it bouncing off him.
No, Troyer would be a... like defensive tackle. He's just too big to... I mean, yes, he's very quick, but if that team was an NFL team, he'd have to be a tackle, because him and Willie Bolly in the middle, you wouldn't need any other defenders.
I like the idea of liking NFL, but when I watch it,
it's too slow.
Sunday night, I see that Red Zone's on. I thought, okay, I'll put that on, and I'm like, no idea what's
the game. The games are great. The game itself, like the video games are great, but the game itself is too slow. It's too stop start, which is what people had the issue with VAR in football. They thought it was just going to end up being like the NFL.
I never even mentioned that. Yes, the VAR wait for a goal to be confirmed yesterday.
Yeah,
it's the first. I mean, when we had it earlier on last season against Leicester, no, this season against Leicester, when and it never seemed to happen then. But it was more than. It seemed a little bit longer. It might have been because the goals were a bit of a scramble.
Yeah.
Because obviously Dame Manor for Cavs, but for the first two, it seemed like a good 20, 25 seconds when the ref was just standing there and everyone was standing around saying, like, what? And it didn't say VAR review on the screen or anything.
Yeah.
But it's just going to get a bit getting used to. But yeah, I watched it Sunday night and it was awful. And if you come into the sport and you know... I think, oh yeah, this is the showpiece event of the year.
Yeah, if you're going to it as a neutral, just to enjoy different kind of the spectacle of.
Yeah, and you watch that Super Bowl, you're never going to watch it again.
Yeah,
it was terrible.
I saw a statistic that the people that were at the game for the final wasn't as many as a Real Madrid Man United friendly in like pre-season a few years ago. Like it's hyped up so much, but it's just never going to be.
It's
football.
A great stadium though. That stadium, that LED screen, the thing that goes around the top. He's fantastic. Neves, quarterback, is that the obvious one?
Yeah, just spray it around.
I think that everyone's too small. There's no real place for anyone
else. We just have like all Willie Bolly and Traore and one Neves at quarterback. There we go.
Job done. Wolves of NFL, we're going to do it. Stu, how's your missing tooth?
It feels weird now.
Passing through his digestive system at this point.
Yeah, it doesn't even hurt. This is the worrying thing about it. There's no pain and there's no blood. It's just half my tooth's just been swallowed.
You're going to wake up in the night and it's just going to hit you.
Yeah, it's going to kill later on.
Well, that was a moment of history, gentlemen. I hope you enjoyed listening that bit. And that's where we're going to leave this week's podcast. Thank you very much for listening. You can follow us all week on social media for your lols and trolls. Just find us Wolves Fancast and... Cheers to our partners, Pixel Yeti Media. Once again, we'll be back next week, everybody, to talk about that game against Newcastle United and an update on Stu's Tooth. Mm-hmm. And of course, we'll get...
Absolutely.
Tooth Watch, that's it. So, for this week, it's bye from Jake.
Bye.
Bye from Stu.
It wouldn't be the first time a fairy's left a deposit in the night.
You know, he can just never say goodbye, can he? Give him the option to say bye. He has to get in there somewhere. Stu, say bye.
Bye.
It's bye from me. See you next time.